Hi, I'm Donna Gates, creator of the Body Ecology Healing System. I'm so excited to have an opportunity to talk with two of the most prominent physicians in the autism movement, Dr. Stephanie Cave and Dr. Nancy O'Hara. They are both founders, two of the founders of a specialist healing retreat. It's a three-day event that's taking place this June 3rd, 4th, and 5th for parents and physicians that are seeking answers and practical tools for improving the health and behavior of children affected by autism and ADHD. Thank you both very much for being here, and I have heard nothing but fantastic things about both of you for years. You're so well-loved and appreciated. So thank you for taking time out of your busy schedules to talk to us all today.
Well, thank you, Donna. Thanks for talking to us, and I think it's a mutual admiration society here, so... you know, our kids have been very much helped by the things that you do and certainly by the body ecology diet.
Thank you for saying that. Well, you know, I'm really, as you know, I've been into food as medicine for a long time. And then when I heard about this thing called autism and went and checked it out at the DAN conference about maybe 9 years ago, and I saw that the children had yeast infections and they had problems with their digestive tract, gut dysbiosis, and then went downstairs and saw a bunch of booths and in all the products that they were creating for the kids, even though they were gluten-free products, they weren't sugar-free. They had tons of sugar in them. So I thought, wow, I can at least help there because I know about yeast infections. I know about the importance of getting sugar out of the diet. But we also focus on healthy gut, you know, strong focus on that and having a lot of healthy gut microbiota. We're not supposed to say microflora anymore because this would technically not be right, but to say microbiota. But probiotics and probiotic foods and drinks. And I'd like to ask either of you or both of you to comment on how essential you think they are to the immune system and helping our kids get well and even preventing autism. I always feel like there's not enough talk about prevention.
Yeah. Well, I think, first of all, with regard to the prevention, you know, one of the things that is becoming more and more clear is it's not only our children's biomes or microbiota, it's the mother's. And so to really make an impact in autism or any neurodevelopmental problem, I think we have to start with the moms even before they get pregnant. And to that end, the more naturally we can do it, certainly with a lot of the fermented things and the kefirs and the kombuchas, that makes such a difference and can be such a part of an ongoing diet rather than just a supplement you take. It's more of a change in lifestyle. And if we could get moms to change that even before they get pregnant, and I think that's one of the reasons Stephanie and I and the other doctors are doing this, because it really is about the whole family. You know, it's not just this child. It's healing the guts as well as the bodies of everybody. And the microbiota are a huge part of that.
Well, you know, I agree 100%. And I noticed that at first the mothers would always be calling me about the child's diet and, you know, having a yeast infection. But the mothers themselves had a history of yeast, for example, for a long time. And, of course, the yeast infection that the mother has becomes much more acute during the pregnancy. And she gives that to her child, some signs like cradle cap, babies being born with cradle cap or sign of yeast. And mothers didn't know this, but that was one thing I pushed too in the beginning is start by taking care of yourself. Learn what you need. It'll naturally translate downstream. But also I think that there's a blessing in autism, as awful as it is. That autism is scaring enough men and women before they have their babies that they're becoming more concerned. And there's a perfect opportunity to begin to teach them how to prepare for the pregnancy so autism doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you realize that actually 70% of the neurochemistry, of some of the neurochemistry is made on the surface of the GI tract becomes very close to brain and function. So if the GI tract is off and the balance is off neurologically for the child too. Serotonin is one of the parts of neurochemistry that is made, a lot of this is made in the GI tract and used in GI tract and in brain. And the children, we, you know, do a lot with cellular chemistry, and we realize that the children lack either the precursors to make some of these neurochemicals, or they just, the whole GI tract is so far off center that they're not using the chemistry as they should. So it affects not only the immune system, but it affects the whole neurological system too.
And the immune system has to be strengthened to overcome the yeast infection, and you've got to be well nourished. The child has to be well nourished to be able to become stronger and healthier. So it really, it does begin in the gut. Health is a good place to start, is with addressing, you know, changing the diet and addressing the whole gut issue. What are your favorite, some of your favorite healing foods and supplements that you are recommending to your children that come in?
I think for us, you know, it always starts with diet. And as you said, it's not just a gluten, casein-free diet. It's a healthy diet. I think probiotics, whether natural or supplements, are always one of the first things, and essential fatty acids, both in the diet as well as in supplements, because certainly our American diets are very bereft of both of those things. So I think that's important for every child, neurotypical or otherwise, and that's certainly one of the things we always start with.
And we try to help them to introduce more fruits and vegetables into the diets. The children are, many times, they're hooked on one or two foods. And we've had children come in before that were only eating French fries, and they're not looking at any other food. And it's very hard because they're sensitive to texture and just anything, the look of the food, the feel of the food in the mouth. And they're very sensory oriented, so it's hard to get a variety of foods into them. But in working with them, if we can get them off the gluten and the casein, they open up to other foods. And you know, we don't make vegetarians out of them. We opt for light fat meats, hopefully organic chicken rather than the commercial chicken with the arsenic in it, and turkey. Maybe some range-fed meat and the fruits and veggies and brown rice. You know, when you take gluten out, the parents feel like they have no grains. And they don't, you know, they start looking at other grains like rice and millet and amaranth and buckwheat and realize that they can actually use those to make products for the child.
And one of our foods that we've been promoting for a long time, the coconut kefir, made from by fermenting coconut water, seems to have a really powerful effect on adults and children in helping overcome cravings for sugar. I think that's one of the benefits of adding probiotic foods from the beginning, or maybe even as the very first food, because it does. You can't say to a child you can't have sugar and that's all they're eating, unless you start to sort of dampen that desire for the sugar. And the sour foods, we've noticed for a long time from feedback from people, they seem to dampen people's desire for sweets, which is why we encourage parents that could, like you said, the parents say, I don't see how I could get my child to eat broccoli. He won't eat anything like that. Mm-hmm. And they just almost feel discouraged from the beginning and don't even want to go in that direction, thinking it'll never work. And then by starting them on the fermented foods with coconut kefir, to their surprise, the next thing they know, they're grabbing a bowl of broccoli off their parents' plate.
I think that's very true, and the coconut kefir also tastes good, and so a lot of the kids will do it. It really has a very sweet taste, and I think we had one kid, for instance, that had tremendous yeast and had been through the ringer with trying all different kinds of natural and medicinal supplements and medications, and it wasn't until she started doing a quarter of a teaspoon of fermented cabbage and coconut kefir that the child is now, and it's taken many months, but now 100% yeast free and doing great. I also think it's important to look at other mineral levels. You know, we have many children that are very deficient in a lot of minerals, for instance, zinc. And if their zinc levels are low, their palates are very, very different. And often everything tastes like the same French fry or pasta. And once you replace some of those minerals, that can be very helpful in expanding their palates, because I think the rotation of foods, healthy foods, is also very important.
Great. Those are good tips for everybody.
And I think the idea that the soil is depleted, really, with minerals, and we seek mm-hmm. organic foods, but we really have no assurance that the minerals are there. You know, usually we know that maybe they're not planted with pesticides, but I find that many, many children are low in magnesium, and that's one of the few that is very hard to put in by mouth because it's a stool softener. So we deal with a lot of magnesium deficiency and zinc deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're down, neurochemistry is down too, because neurochemistry requires a lot of B-complex, and the B requires magnesium and zinc. So it just, you know, it rotates right back to the neurological system from the GI tract.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this conference that you all are putting together is brilliant. I've attended a number of the more formal conferences. As a matter of fact, it amazed me because I'd sit there and watch the parents with their notebooks writing down unbelievably complex medical terms, learning to be doctors overnight practically because they're so committed to getting their kids well. And then they're spending every penny that they've got on their child, and they're stressed out beyond belief themselves, exhausted. And so a retreat like the one you all have put together is just totally different. It's sort of a conference, but a conference in disguise as a retreat. And I've been told that you're going to be offering yoga and organic foods, meditation, massage, relationship workshops, stress management tools. It doesn't look like you've left anything out, just everything parents need. So can you just kind of how did this idea come about?
Well, I think in a couple of ways. One of the things that we all noticed is that many of our parents, when they went to conferences, came back even more stressed out than before they went mm-hmm. because they were totally overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to address that. But I think even more than that, one of our colleagues, Dr. Julie Buckley, who has a daughter that has been on the autism spectrum and has seizures, and was one of our own physicians, but also one of our own parents that has dealt with on a daily basis putting the child first and doing everything in her power to successfully get her daughter better. And in the process, I got breast cancer. And it was sort of a wake-up call, as we all see in all of our lives in different ways, in the lives of our friends and our patients, that all of our healths are affected by the toxins, the depletion of good nutrients, the chemicals in our environment. Our kids with autism may be our canary and more susceptible, but all of us are affected. And so it was a way that we came together and said, we've got to look at this differently. We've got to get at everybody to try to help people to live in a more healthful fashion in general.
Yeah, I started thinking about the doctors, too. It's not just the parents and the family. The primary care physicians have a hellacious schedule quite often, and, you know, taking care of the children and the children with the neurological problems are difficult sometimes in the office. The schedule doesn't always go as it should. They require much more time. And sometimes at the end of the day, the doctors really are wondering where they're going from there. So there's a lot of stress in their lives. So we thought this would be a good way to give them a retreat and some CME hours in addition, so that there'll be information, there'll be some scientific information, but they won't get to the office and wonder what they do Monday morning. We'll try to give them some tools to use Monday morning. And we had a conference 1 year where we gave a lot of information. It was wonderful scientific information. On the last day, one of the pediatricians stood up and said, you know, this has been a wonderful conference, but what do I do Monday morning when the child walks in the door? So we hope to fill that void.
One of the other things we're doing for both physicians and parents is, especially for physicians and practitioners in general that come to the conference, our website is going to be one that is interactive going forward. And part of this includes interactive mentorship Once you've signed up for the conference, then you know, one of the physicians will continue to work with these physicians in helping them to integrate this kind of work into their practices. And then for parents, there will be ongoing access to the website with blogs and information. So it's not just leaving them high and dry, as Stephanie said on Monday morning. It's really trying to carry this work forward.
Oh, that's fantastic. So this isn't just a three-day event, the 3rd, 4th, and 5th of June. It's definitely just the beginning of something big where you're going to really take care of people, which is they need support more than anything else.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I noticed years ago, and I was really, really impressed by this, that the doctors who were beginning to step up and, you know, care for these children, they really were listening to the parents. They wanted to learn, and they saw that kind of co-venturship, you know, co-venturing with the parent and the doctor together was perfect, and you don't always see that. That's why I think there's been so much knowledge gained over the years, because the doctors are finding out what, you know, learning from the parents what they're discovering in the field. They're coming in and reporting to the doctors, and then the doctors share that with other people. And it's really an extraordinary movement if you can step back and take a look at what's happening with autism, and particularly because of who it's happening to. These mothers are highly educated, compassionate, you know, committed as they can be, and they are sharing what they learn with many other mothers. And in the words, really going all around the world. And ultimately, I think it's going to change the way medicine is practiced forever, because we have to start bringing healthy children in from the very beginning. And you know,
this is not just the United States.
Yeah, no, it's all over the world thanks to the internet.
All of us have gone out to other countries to help physicians set up practices to help the children, because this is not really a psychiatric illness as we have defined it in medicine. These children are sick, and they do have neurological issues and GI tract issues, and they just they need help, and they need help from physicians in many specialty areas.
And so it looks like in the past, you know, we tended to look for a cause of, say, polio or some other epidemic that struck our children, but this is different because it's really a number of things that have to be treated separately. Can you sort of just talk a little bit more about that?
Well, environment, I think, is huge. You know, our grandfathers didn't grow up in the environment that we are growing up in, and they didn't really have to live out of supplement bottles. Their foods had more nutrients in them. I was just telling someone this morning, I grew up in New Orleans where we had a very small lot behind our home, a very tiny piece of land that we lived on, and my father grew all of our vegetables on that piece of ground, and we didn't realize what he was doing for us. But that doesn't happen so much anymore, and we have more chemicals in the environment. We're going to share what is happening in Japan. We've shared the lead coming from China. We have lead all across the West Coast that we think is coming through from China. Some of the children that we see children from Mexico that are very contaminated with items like heavy metals. And it's just a different age. It's a different time in medicine. And in order to treat it, we're going to have to step back and realize that we're not treating a disease. We're treating a child. We're treating a person. And we have to stop thinking about treating systems so much as treating the entire child,
mm-hmm.
and trying to get everything back into working order so that the child can function.
And I think, you know, these children especially, like you said, you know, the children with autism are teaching us so much, and the parents are teaching us so much. I mean, my mentor, Sid Baker, always said, if you listen, they will come, and what he meant by that was, you know, it's the parents who are really teaching us. And these children are genetically predisposed because they do not have some of the metabolic pathways that they need to detoxify all of these things that we're all getting exposed to. They do not have the glutathione, and this has been proven in research. And so when they start out like that genetically, and then they have multiple environmental triggers, whether it be the microbiota that they get from their mother, or repeated antibiotics, or early vaccination, or all of the chemicals and toxins that, that Stephanie is talking about, these children are excessively susceptible to the damage that these things can then cause, not just in their brains, but further in their guts and their immune systems and in their metabolic systems.
You know, I think that's one of the reasons why the fermented vegetables are so important, made with cabbage and other member, you know, other cruciferous family vegetables like kale, for example, fermented. But they have been shown in research to be powerful detoxifiers.
Yeah.
They, we have to be eating foods that are constantly helping open up those detoxification pathways and getting those toxins out all the time, every day. It's not just for a little while to recover somebody. It's for the rest of our life, basically.
And that's why, you know, the diet part of the conference is so important to us. You know, the fact that the foods are organic, the fact that we're really, you know, several of the workshops are about diet and good nutrition and juicing and fermented foods and all of that, because, you know, it's those sort of things and those sort of lifestyle changes that are so important. I remember when I went to my first autism research conference, this was 14 years ago, and they were talking about gluten-free, casein-free, and serving breakfast with, you know, muffins and bagels. And, you know, it's a disconnect, especially for physicians who, you know, the practice I used to be in before I left 12 years ago, you know, they like to feed their kids Oreos and chocolate milk because they didn't want to fight when they got home from a long day at work. Physicians get a half an hour of nutrition training and 4 years of medical school. And we are the worst in trying to help parents do this. And so the more that we can help physicians and other practitioners really see the importance of diet, it's got to be the core of everything.
Mm-hmm. So would the physicians and the parents be getting the same information at the same time? Or some of the conferences, you know, the physicians go this way and the parents are off in a different room learning different information. Will they all be together for this?
There's a little bit of both. There'll be some of the lectures that are all together, and then there'll be some that are separate where we're really showing docs the research. And then all of the workshops are open to both parents. And that's another big piece of this, because it's not just sitting in a lecture format. It's going to hands-on workshops, whether it be about mercury-free dentistry or supplements to treat minor illness or you know, as we've talked about, the food and diet workshops or the couple's relationships or all of that are open and interactive with everybody.
Well, you know, I am so glad that you all really understand about, like, what we teach with the probiotics, because I was just recently speaking at a conference myself and had to put a PowerPoint together, and they asked me to talk about probiotics and probiotic foods, of course, And so that made me start looking at the latest research, and to my surprise, there are actually over 7,000 formal studies showing the benefits of probiotics, and especially what's so exciting to me, because I started, you know, speaking about this so many decades, 20 years ago, and there wasn't anything available. But today, you know, one of the most important, exciting areas, I think, is the clear understanding that the bacteria communicate to the gut wall, and they change the inner ecosystem in there, and they create that inner ecosystem, create that immune system. They actually educate, as soon as the baby's born, the bacteria going into the gut literally begin to educate the immune system so that it knows how to fight infections. And I feel, you know, I say that nature is also vaccinating us, and we really need to look and see how nature's doing that, so we can learn from that and not be so into vaccinating so early and vaccinating children that aren't well. So it's so wonderful to find doctors. I'm sure everybody's listening is just so excited to find that people like you are actually living, existing, and you get up every day and you go to work to help people, and you're making an enormous difference. Why do you think there's not more doctors? Like, why are not all the pediatricians in the country following suit and just flocking to your door and saying, teach me everything you can learn. You can. I need to know this.
Time. The system that we have now allows very little time with each patient, and this is not something that we're taught in medical school. So you have to be motivated in order to go out and learn this. And so many of them are busy, busy, busy. They're busy with hospital practices and office practices. And, you know, they may not be getting the same group of parents that are coming in saying, we expect you to help us and know this information. Although I think parents on a whole are a lot better educated than they used to be because of the Internet and the information that is available out there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just not something they're used to talking about and thinking about. You know, we do a lot of pharmacological training in medical school. And I take students in my office from the medical school, and the last couple of years have come in and told me they don't need to learn biochemistry anymore because it's not on the board exam. That all they have to know now is pharmacology, and that's not good.
No.
You know, it's not going to lead you into the type of practice that we have.
Mm-mm.
If you forget about the cellular chemistry and just work with medications.
And I think, unfortunately, unless you are an exceptional practitioner and can really look outside the box, it's not until something affects you personally mm-hmm. that you begin to look at other ways of thinking about disease processes. In medicine, everything is black and white, disease or not disease, and, you know, ill health, well health. And it really isn't about that. I mean, what the children with autism have taught us is there's just a lot of gray. And, you know, this child may not have mitochondrial disease, but their mitochondria, the energy cells of their body, aren't working the way they should. And this kid may not have inflammatory bowel disease, but his gut is immensely inflamed from all the antibiotics or bad foods or junk. You know, as our friend Stu Friedenfeld said, there's no such thing as junk food. It's either junk or it's food. You know, and you know, so it's hard unless something has hit you personally for busy physicians to see it. And we're trying to encourage our patients and the parents to sponsor a physician or practitioner or to encourage their physicians to come. And, you know, in this month of autism awareness, we're offering, you know, people to be able to do that, to try to get the physicians to get here and just listen, because I found once they hear it, then it begins to make a lot of sense, and they begin to start to believe it and use it.
Well, you know, this really has to come from doctors teaching other doctors, because when I started, you know, talking in the beginning about the food that I wanted to see children on, and I really could see that I was not being taken seriously. So what I decided, well, because I wasn't a doctor, and so I decided, well, let me just get some help, get some kids well, and see if that'll make a difference. And a long time has passed now, 9 years or so have gone by, and people are aware that the body culture diet is valuable for autism. But and some of the most wonderful people recommending our work are doctors, you all, and other doctors in the autism community. But the sponsoring another doctor or even sponsoring a parent is something that I wanted us to cover, too, because I know there are people listening to this call that are benefiting, you know, because this is about all human beings, not just about children. But there is a lack of money in this community because these parents are shouldering the burden of getting their children well financially all on their own shoulders. Nobody's helping them, and it's not doable. They need help financially from all of us. And, you know, this is an issue that's affecting the entire country, the entire world. We're all being affected by this. I think all of us need to participate in the answer and the solution in getting these kids well, and that even means financially. So if we've got people listening to this that can sponsor a parent, sponsor a physician, you know, contact your healingretreat.com. Yourhealingretreat.com is the website, yourhealingretreat.com. And say, you know, just send an email in the subject line, put in that you want to make a donation of any amount. It all adds up and it makes a difference. That means another mother somewhere in this country or in this world can come here and learn, or another doctor can come and learn. And one child getting well shows many, many other people how to do it, and you can have a profound impact by making a simple donation. So I'd like to ask everybody listening to please do that. Even a small amount will help get this fantastic healing retreat. It's really a conference, but disguised as a healing retreat, off the ground, and give them the doctors and the parents and the support that they need to really show the world how to recover from autism, how to prevent it, how to keep it from ever happening, but also to help these kids recover, because there are kids getting well. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like the, you know, because I would say that most people, if you interview them on the street, they'll say, oh, it's a autism, yep, it's too bad, and kids get it, and they're stuck with it forever. But that's not so. So could you just say a little bit about your experience?
We have a lot of children who are fully recovered. We have some that, you know, are 80% recovered, but many of them go on through the therapy with cellular chemistry replacement, and we deal with helping them to detox, get their detox systems going. Many of them regain speech that were not speaking before. And a lot of them are mainstreamed in school, and people don't really even know that they're in the autism spectrum. We have all levels of recovery.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, children can have some element of recovery with autism with the proper treatment.
Mm-hmm. And early, too, that is one really good thing I think that the pediatricians are all over the country are doing, is they're looking for early signs at even 12 and 8, or maybe even 9 months to see for early signs of autism. What kind of happening there?
I think early intervention, whether you're talking therapeutically or medically and biomedically, is of utmost importance. We have lots of kids that we're seeing now at 9 months or 12 months, and when there's early signs at that time, if you can intervene by changing their diets and changing their metabolism, you know, adding things that they may need as far as natural probiotics or glutathione, we see remarkable effects, and so far all of those kids have you know, that are starting out that young have, knock on wood, fully recovered. So I think early intervention, and that's another thing we preach to practitioners, you know, not delaying if there's any risk or concern to get started.
You know, it's interesting because the all of you, all the doctors that have put this together, and Maureen McDonald, who's a registered nurse, everybody's a woman. And I noticed that one of the things that you'll be focusing on is this whole aspect of relationships and the stress, you know, stress management tools. And I've thought for years now that there's a really important emotional component to this issue of autism. And, you know, and I find sometimes with the older children that autism lives in the house for so long that it kind of dominates and rules. Everybody's all about the child with autism, and learning to let that go, you know, like overcoming a lot of emotional, you know, the child himself believes he's autistic. He even gets love and attention from mom and dad because he's autistic. That's how he's learned that it, because he's autistic, he gets this love from them. That's a difficult thing to let go when you're, maybe if you become well, mom and dad won't love me or be so fussing over me all the time. So I'm so happy to see you all focusing on this whole emotional component. Would you talk about that just a little bit?
Well, they do. They're in the middle of the family, and usually their mood runs the entire mood of the family. And it's tough on the other children because there's a lot of time and attention that goes into taking care of the special needs child.
Mm-hmm.
So the others feel like they're left out. They actually, in many cases, become almost like small parents. You know, they help take care of the child too, but maybe some of their needs are not being met. And we'll focus on relationships at this retreat and relationships within the family with siblings and with parents and grandparents.
Fantastic, yeah. Grandparents too. I mean, when there's a child with autism, the entire family, the entire community needs to be involved. Well, thank you both so very much for taking time out of your busy schedules to enlighten us. And I would like to ask our community, our body ecology community, that please contribute, help in any way you can. This is one of the most important ways you can ever spend money is on our children and helping these children get well. And Your Healing Retreat at yourhealingretreat.com is an organization that you really need to sponsor. So I'd really like to ask this for everybody in our community to please help in any way you can. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Donna.
Both of
Thank
you.
Thank you, Donna. We really appreciate it.
Great. Hopefully we'll have a chance to hear and see some exciting things happening. Let us know if we can help in any other way.
Okay. And we'll
Thank you.
I'm Donna Gates, and I'm hoping this helps make a happier, healthier world.